Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Cause they giving you the latest on everything on your playlist. This bet the safest from basements to greatness. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram. Might think you fly, but ain't nice as my guys. Got eyes on the prize. So like and subscribe. We back in the booth. I think that they gon' eat this up. The ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain. We have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here. Video Game Bang is back. And that's right, if you read the description on our Twitch, this show is for millennials only. So if you are a zoomer, a boomer, anything in between, there's the door. All right, you're either too old or too young, but we're right here, right in the middle. Video Game Bang, the millennial podcast. You heard it here first. Starting off with my girl, my home girl, League of Legends extraordinaire. Actually put that moniker to the test, and although she wasn't quite good enough to carry me in the bot lane, she tried her best. Lexi, how you doing?
What's up? I'm good, you know, chilling. Glad it's a long weekend to relax and catch up on some League and other games, hopefully. But yeah, just chilling. Trying to make that comeback.
I want to thank you for not raging on me too hard. It was a pretty brutal string of matches we had. We thought, oh yeah, we're done recording a little bit early. Let's just jump on a couple matches of League. It'll be fun.
Oh, you know, it's not fun. It is what it is. It's all good. I still think we should stream it one day and just like let the cards fall as they may. Like, let everyone like predict what's gonna happen. Like, are we gonna win this one? Are we gonna lose this one? What's gonna happen?
I think we gotta play against robots for a little while. I think we gotta play against easy robots because I am rusty. Your boy is rusty.
We could always 1v1 or 2v2, so that's always an option.
I wouldn't want to embarrass you. Speaking of embarrassing you, he's also here.
Speaking of embarrassment, like our friend Kyle is here.
How you been, Kyle? Another week down as a community manager in gaming, and you're still here with us, so that's a good thing.
I think my ability to laugh through difficult situations or laugh at things other people would find mean or whatever, I think that like the sense of humor adds the levity to my job that I think is necessary for survival. So I think I'll be okay with it seems good.
I didn't realize there was some underground market for peripherals, because it seemed like at one point there was too many. Like, I remember being at GameStop when we got the email saying, like, we don't take these anymore. We just have too many. There's too many guitars. We don't take the drum kits anymore for trade-in. And now it seems like there's a shortage because Buddy Dazarin, who is a Rocket League caster, was saying something about, like, $400 to get a PC bundle for Guitar Hero right now.
Yep. It's a struggle world. That is literally my life. Like, every single day in and day out, I have people like, we need new instruments. I'm like, I hear ya.
There's a petition that went out. It's the same thing with
Rocksmith. Yeah.
Like, with the cords for Rocksmith, because I was looking for a cord for a long time, and they cost so much.
There's definitely, and like, Fuser is a testament to that. Like, Harmonix is like, we're trying to figure out ways to not give ourselves that same problem in the future. Like, it's a game that you know, you can play with a controller or a PC, you know, keyboard and mouse. Like, it makes life a little easier when you don't have to rely on that sort of stuff. But yeah, that is my life. That is entirely my life, day in and day out. Every single tweet I post, any new DLC, any hey, we're looking for testers for upcoming games and stuff. I was like, we need more instruments. Like, uh-huh.
Listen to the people. Usually,
we know.
I know. You got to listen to your audience. That's the thing, mm-hmm. though. Where are the hardware? What's going on? I imagine you have like a room in the office that just has filled to the rim. You open it and then guitars just come out.
It's not quite like that, but it's a tricky subject with like, we can't make them ourselves because that's not what we do, but also we need them
just do it.
It's just a whole,
what do you mean it's not what you do? You're a guitar hero. You're a rock band. Just do it.
Because we don't want to. It's definitely definitively, because we don't want to, not because of any other external circumstances or financials or anything like that. It's just, I don't really want to. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it.
That's
no.
crazy. I'm so pissed. I held on to it for so long. It was one of those things where all my guitars, I held on for like 5 years too long, longer than I should have. But now it turns out I got rid of them 5 years before I should have. Like I should have not gotten rid of them. They're like the Pokemon cards. I had no idea there's such like a shortage of these things. So if you're out there listening to this and you're sitting on one in your garage, now's the time to pull it out and throw it on the old Facebook marketplace. Make yourself
but
a
maybe
little bit of money.
Not for $400.
Why not? If people are going to buy a $400 guitar, is there like one that's more wanted than the others? Like, is it like, the Les Paul one is going to get you a lot
it
more?
It depends on, so for certain games you can work them for certain things. Like a lot of the PC ones, there's like this whole mess with like adapters and stuff. And like people are making customs and like some people, it's honestly like due to a lot of preference. Like some people like certain things, people don't like certain things. And so it's like, this whole I'm learning like every single day or week. I learn like in the same way that there are people who do speedrun routes for like games, like people know how to, you know, route through this and that and the other thing. I'm learning that like people know how to do routes for activating like overdrive in certain places to get the maximum amount of score by hitting the most notes and getting the longest of streaks on it. So like, it doesn't even matter if you get a perfect score, right? But like, if you don't do the maximum perfect amount of time of hitting the overdrive, you'll get the most, like, the absolute top of the leaderboard type of things. And I'm just like, okay, wow, yeah. It's like,
there's a metagame.
It's how I imagine, like, the Overwatch team or the Valorant team, like, watching pros play their game right now. They're like, what?
I think Harmonix is in a lot of trouble. I think there's a new game coming out that's going to crush you guys like a bug, and it's called Friday Night Funkin'. I think if I were you guys, I would go find that company and buy them.
Never
out
heard
real quick.
Of it.
Me either.
You won't know until it's too late. They sneak up on you, and they're like, sorry, we got to let you go, Kyle.
Rips
Friday
us
night.
Out.
Yeah.
Dang.
I'm not playing Friday Night Funkin'. Look it up. Make a merger. Add it to Rock Band or Fuser, and boom. Company saved.
All right.
I want to thank everybody.
Thank other everybody. People call their people.
Yeah, you can do it. I just want to give some love in the chat too. If you listen to the podcast faithfully via RSS feed, be sure to hang out with us live. You can do it on Friday nights now. And the North remembers throwback. He hasn't been in here for months. He's back. We'll get some updates on that guy after Drew and the TARDIS. Hanging out here. Squigs is chilling with us. A lot of people. Ruru hanging out too. So come hang out. Join our little community. We have a Discord too where we got people chilling. Social media guy Jake is in there. They're always playing games. So yeah, do that. Let's get into it though. Speaking of like hard to find old school peripherals, it seems like, you know, for music people, we get into vinyl and we get into the old analog of listening and spinning records, even though it's kind of inconvenient. And when you really break it down, the audio quality is negligible, but there's just something about spinning vinyl that just makes you feel good. It makes you feel warm. And it looks like old school gamers are doing the same thing now and they're buying up all the CRTs. Anybody here still have a CRT?
No. Mm-mm. I have zero desire. Like, I don't even own. I don't play retro games. I understand the want for. Okay, no, that's not true. I did find my PSP while doing some cleaning a couple of days ago, and so I now have that, and it works.
I do have some now that you said
could,
that.
But like not to the same level where I'm gonna buy a 40-pound, 13-inch TV. No, thank you.
Yeah, like I have a PlayStation 1, and it still plays on my other TV. That's a digital one. So until it just runs out, then I'm still good, guys. And plus, you could get like monitors now with the three prongs. Like you could literally find an old school, or not even an old school, like a new monitor, but with the three like things in the back. I don't know what they're called. Yeah, and like plug it up to that. Like, do you need the old school box TV? I mean, yeah, it's nostalgic. Yeah, I played on that, but like, do you need it? Like, other than like, oh, I have it now and it's worth so much money with this game. I don't know.
I think it's the same thing as like spinning the vinyl. There's a great article right now on Wired, which we're referring to, which kind of goes into depth on why this trend is coming up. And it's the same, like it's very similar to people who listen to vinyl. Like there's really some benefits, but really not. I would actually say there's more benefits to gaming on a CRT. Like they were doing a lot of screenshots side by side of, how games were made for that medium. So, it looks kind of better. So I don't know. What do you guys think? There's ever a world where you get into like looking for a CRT to play some old games?
No,
I was about to say I could get Corey's point to like maybe it looks better because it's around that era. Anyways,
I think in the same way that like I only like to listen to vinyl if that's what it came out on originally and that's what it was like mastered for, because then you're like, okay, like it was recorded, mixed, and mastered for the medium, right? Like, hey, assuming everyone's gonna listen to vinyl, so we're gonna make it sound the best for vinyl. Like, this is when this music came out, what people listened to it on, so it kind of is, like, giving it the proper treatment. But, like, I guess in the same way that, like, if I were to play N64 games or, SNES games or NES games or whatever, like, maybe you'd be more inclined because then you're getting the original, like, representation of what that looks like, not through a converter, not through an emulator, not through whatever. It's, like, that true...
Totally.
Like,
yeah, if you got retro a CRT feeling, and you're connecting it to, like, an emulator or something, that feels like you're totally missing the point there.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool. Like, I'm kind of thinking it's one of those things I'm going to say no to now, and then later down the road I'm gonna come across an NES and want to try and find one.
Like, I'm not gonna dunk on someone who wants to do that and call him an idiot, but I'm also not gonna like, oh no, you gotta play. I'm like, I'm not going to. I'm sorry, bud. I'm not gonna. I will play games from like 2010 or like sometimes 2005 maybe, and like, but like at that point, like there's no nostalgia for me. Like, the games I played growing up were not great games necessarily. Like, it's just,
it kind of seems
they're just so dated now and compared to like where games are at this point.
It seems like this might be one of those kind of new-ish niches that people got into because of the COVID. Like, I know there's been an explosion of people and friends of mine that gotten into plants now, who were never into plants before, but because they've been home all the time, they're like, oh, let's get a plant. And then now they have 30 plants and they're just plant people. I think the CRT could be one of those things. I feel maybe Pokemon cards could have got in there. Like, people get bored and they start doing new things. Did any of these new habits or new hobbies for you, Lexi, since COVID?
I mean, I just want my Pokemon cards back because now they're worth so much.
Are they? So if I found my old Pokemon cards, are they really worth something?
I mean, if they were taken well care of. So like, I was like, before the show, I was telling Corey and Cal that like, I took care of my cards. I had them like in a binder and sleeves. Like, I had like my play deck that was like go time on Saturdays in the mall. and Books a Million. But then I had like my card cards. So it was like, here's my shiny cards. Let's trade guys cards. So like I was telling them that my teacher like took them away from me at play, like what is it? I said playtime, but recess, at recess one day, and basically put it in her drawer and was like, I'll give them back to you at the end of the day. And then end of the day comes, somebody had stole my cards. And
What?
I was like, what the crap? Like, you owe me money. These are worth money, honey. Like, that's how I wanted to say to the teacher, but I
Dang.
was just like in, like, I don't know, third or fourth grade, like, I traded, so I got that Mewtwo, that Pikachu, like the Holo, like hello, like, and now I look back at them like that could have been worth millions of dollars.
I want to go through my collection and see if they're actually worth anything. I think I just found
Did
them
you
like,
have some?
yeah, I found my binder like a month ago or something, and it's got
Corey, you
my.
have it in the
I
binder?
took
That's
care of them.
good. That's a good step. That's a good step.
They're in order by Pokemon number, like from one to
Wow. There you go.
150, and there's like a few I don't have, but
Wow.
I got most of them.
Check out those hollows and make sure they don't have any creased ends and stuff, and you might be in the business.
Graded or graded
Yeah.
and send them
Yeah,
in and get
grade it.
them. I would
And
sell them in a
yeah.
heartbeat. I have zero connection or anything to them, so if they're in like good enough shape, I will sell them in an instant.
Oh yeah, they're
Speaking of
worth a
which,
lot.
there's been like some chaos with these Pokemon cards. There was some footage that popped up a few days ago of like a Walmart, because it's always Walmart in, where was this?
Draws the best people. Pennsylvania.
Oh, it's Pennsylvania, even better. So a Walmart in Pennsylvania, and people are just trampling each other to get to these freaking Pokemon cards, and they're old dudes, like older than us. Like these,
Yep.
what's happening? Is it that big of a deal? Where did
It
this
is.
demand come from?
So I think, what's that guy's name? You remember that day I told you I was watching some guy on YouTube and
Yeah,
it
you were
was just
watching one
like
of your
Logan
Logan
Paul or
Pauls
something?
or Jake
Yeah.
Paul, yeah.
One of them, they were doing like this stream. So I don't know if it originated from them like doing these huge Pokemon box unboxing type streams, but I know like since they've been doing it, everybody else is doing it, and now it's like, oh my God! Like if you find like Charmander or Charizard, one of those, like the Hollows and like different other ones too, but like those are the ones that are like worth like at least a million or something like that
No,
dollars.
a
Yeah,
million
way.
dollars.
So now
No
people are
way.
like going out of their way to get like the original decks or even like the decks out now just because they're like trying to look for hollows because they're worth a lot.
See, I.
And yeah, that's why this whole thing at the store and all these people trampling each other is going on because they want hollows. Like, it's like, let my kid play cards. And they're like, no, these cards are for us
This
to make
game has been
money.
out for
grown men to sell on the internet for money, not for enjoyment.
That's how it was
I
back
don't
then
know.
too. These things were like 40,
Yeah.
how much do people
They
spend on
weren't
these things?
worth as much, especially if
Yeah.
you find like the very first decks, which a lot
Like
of people are
Gen
selling
1 original
on eBay.
printing.
Those are like, I don't know, $400 or $500 per like box that you have to get. Whereas like maybe at Walmart you could have bought that box for, I don't know, $150. I don't know how much they ran, like the typical price.
I
But
think when
like
they
if you
came out, they were
find that on
maybe
eBay,
50 bucks for like
yeah, I was
a
like, it wasn't
at the
that
year
bad.
box, yeah.
I figured
And
so
so now
many.
they're reselling them because they know hollows are in there. And they'll even say on the eBay thing, because I've looked it up, they'll say like possibly six hollows or possibly like maybe this many. And it's like, you don't know, but here's your shot. And some people are opening the boxes and like reselling them and then sending it to you. And you're thinking, oh, I have a brand new box. You open it, there's nothing in there, or there's no hollows, or whatever the case
Oh.
is.
You know,
Yeah, so it's sneaky.
I remember going to a card shop when I was real young, and you know, when I was originally into this Pokemon card thing, and my aunt, who was like the cool aunt, would always take me to the card shop when there was nothing to do and buy me a couple packs. And the guy at the card shop, I remember this is when I found out the whole thing was rigged, because he pulled out like a weight, an electric weight that you would use to do like cocaine or something. And he took like a few different card packs and he put it on there, and it was like point something heavier. He's like, oh, there's a hollow in there for sure. And he moved it, put another one on there, and there, you know, it was a little lighter. He was like, no hollow in this one. So
what?
Tested the theory, and it worked right there on the spot. So the
no
whole
way.
Thing, yeah, the whole thing was ghetto.
Probably rigged. Change about like a gram or two, yeah.
Yeah, so I always knew like the dude was, you know, organized the packs or something, and like customers he liked, or you know, I don't know. I just didn't like. I don't trust the system. I can't wait to see. If
Why
I can
didn't
make
you
money.
Get your own weight, Corey? That way, when you went, you could have like just eight. Put it down and be like, oh, no hollow. Give me another pack. No hollow, another. And he would have looked at you like, what? And you would have been like, I'm in the business.
No way. If I was like 9 and I went to my mom and I was like, hey, can I get one of these electric scales? I'm like, what the hell is my
Could
son
Could you imagine?
Doing?
What are you going to do with it? No. Are you going to wait food? No, Pokemon.
No, I got a different hobby in mind. Oh my God, my son is selling drugs.
Gotta catch them all.
I'm going to go all Walter yeah. White. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually, you know, I might go dig out those cards and do like a stream thing. I'm not really,
please do.
I haven't been doing the stream stuff, but I need to get some people who are like in the space to let me know what I have, if anything. I have a feeling it'll be kind of a bust, but we'll see what happens there. Let's talk about some more Twitch controversy. We've been covering them the last couple of weeks about the hot tub streamers. They put them in their own little category. All that is good and dandy, but they can't stay out of drama. I woke up to this. Everybody who has a Twitch account and that streams got an email from Twitch saying, hey, DMCA Part 2, Electric Boogaloo, is on its way. We got 1,000 unique complaints all on VODs and hide, run and hide. And so then you got the big guys like Nick Merckx, Super TF, deleting all their VODs just as a precaution. You know, a lot of people have strikes out there, and a third strike could be a permaban. What's going on, man? DMCA, this is right up your alley, Kyle, because you play, you have a game that runs off of licensed music. I'm sure you like when content people stream it, but do they run into issues? How does that work?
I took a class in college. It was music business, and that was probably the densest class out of all the other ones I took. Like, even compared to the engineering class I took, electronic circuits, calculus. Nah, dude, it was this music business class. I'm like, what? Oh my God, there's that. It's just the most confusing, complicated, convoluted system. So I won't even pretend to understand this to the extent of like an actual lawyer, but from what I understand, I think it's a significant difference between playing stuff that is like within the game, because that's within free use, I believe.
I don't think so. But I don't know.
One of the rules of thumb that a lot of the community people will say is that like absolutely free to stream any of our games at any point in time. We just don't really keep VODs about it, and most of the music streamers don't really have a need for VODs. There's a reason that like it's more prevalent on Twitch than on YouTube, because YouTube automatically pulls all of your licensed stuff. Like, anytime I even post new DLC, it's always copyright flagged and stuff like that, and they just allow us to use it because we have the license for it. But it automatically flags all of the YouTube stuff because it's stored on their servers, whereas Twitch is streamed, so you can't go through and automatically detect things as they're happening. You have to wait until it's held somewhere. So that's why people who have VODs are much more at risk of, you know, getting these DMCAs.
It looks like from what Twitch was saying, they seem pretty powerless in this situation. They just kind of have to show their belly, and you know, and the email was very much written like that. It was like, hey guys, someone's coming for us. Not just you, it's all of us, you know, and we think that they've been using technology that lets them, you know, it's not like a person listening. They're using software to bust everybody. Mm. And that to be safe, you know, you might want to start deleting your VODs and stuff. There's not really like a light at the end of the tunnel here. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
So, like, will there ever be a time where, like, you can, I guess, stream with, like, the actual game music anymore?
So
like, what is
that's
the deal?
That's the annoying thing. Like, normally, like, we saw with Cyberpunk, they had a stream enabled, like, a streamer-friendly mode to where it only had, you know, in-game soundtracks. Like, obviously, if you are playing Skyrim. That's a original soundtrack. It's part of the game. It's not like copyright striked elsewhere. But like 2K, all licensed music. That is music that they do not own. They are simply licensing the rights to for the one particular use. And it's a very different thing. So that's where it gets a bit tricky and like where it's we're running into issues. And I think that the more games rely on having a streamer presence, the more the developers are kind of influenced to do original music or, you know, have better rights on their licensing that allows for redistribution, all that sorts of stuff. It's a complicated process, super unfun. Twitch can literally do nothing. They can either tell people to take their stuff down, take it down for them, or Twitch is the one who gets in trouble, I believe, because they're the ones who are
It's
hosting
their
it.
platform, yeah.
Yep. So I think they are the ones who are liable. I don't think the. I mean, Twitch can do. They can, like, ban you, obviously, and, like, that's what their strike system does, I believe. But I don't think that the music labels can sue the people playing. I think they sue the platform first, I think.
It's tough too because they can also get you on the music or even the video, like sound bites from movie trailers. Like you could get pinged for that. Like if you're watching a trailer on your stream, you know, a lot of times streamers will get sent things and they watch. Like it's crazy that something like that can that small from over like years and years ago. It's not like it's just that there's a amnesty period. A lot of the videos that are getting flagged are 5 years old, maybe even older. So it's tough. And there's been some people who've been on the whole royalty free kick for a long time and saying like, you know, the day of reckoning is coming. And those people were right. And there are tons of free resources too out there for people looking to stream. You know, if there's one thing, you know, people do get creative. So there are a lot of free resources, people that give their music out for free. Some larger artists that respect and understand the Twitch culture have been doing it. So don't use it as an excuse not to stream. Be careful, delete your VODs. And if all else fails, go to YouTube gaming. Shit doesn't happen over there. You just can't monetize. They mute you and demonetize, but it's not like you're gonna get striked and removed. So
I
that's
wonder if they will ever do that. Even though, like, they kind of have a handle on it for the most part. I wonder if that will become a thing
I
on
think
YouTube.
just don't like I in realistic like just don't I don't understand why people feel the need to like play music while they stream. I know some people who hate it and they will not watch a streamer if they're playing music. It's like
Really?
I don't like your music. I don't want to listen to your I just want to watch the but like I think especially like obviously like don't listen to music that you don't own or whatever. And then like who I guess like I don't see the benefit of like keeping VODs too much except like for your own personal use. You can always download them, throw them on a hard drive. If you're a big time streamer, you can afford a couple terabyte external hard drive, just throw all your VODs on there if you want to save some, you know, after like a month or two and keep them and call it a day. But like, yeah,
Yeah, if you're at
it's a
that state,
unfun
it's
thing.
different stages of like content creator. Like if you're a smaller content creator, really, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know, if you're streaming to one or two people every night, you know, they're not going to have a huge influx of people going to watch your VODs from 3 months ago. So you probably don't even need to bother risking getting your account strikes due to DMCA. For medium tier, you know, and you can afford paying $100 a month or a video or whatever. You know, there's tons of very qualified YouTube editors out there that's what they do is they watch your stream, they
They
will
just
take the
pull your
highlights.
screen.
Yep, you just hit the Twitch clip on your Streamlabs, have someone jam them together and throw them on YouTube, and you have an archive of all your stuff forever. So, you know, you just gotta weigh what you're doing compared to how big your audience is and make an informed decision. But you're not gonna beat the DMCA, baby. They're not playing around. Let's get into some
There is an
farm.
interesting point that Taylor just brought up, though.
What do you say?
So he says when an influencer manager is researching broadcasters to work with for paid activations, VODs the primary way that they access whether assess whether to work with them, which is I think that is a fair point.
Kinda, a little bit, but
Gives you I
if
guess
you're
it
an
doesn't
influencer,
necessarily
if you're an influencer, the size that's being scouted by an influencer manager, I would think you have content in other places. Like, I don't know if the Twitch VOD is the big, they're going to go to your Twitter and see how much, you know, following you have there. They're going to go everywhere and see, kind of look at your engagements. I admit it, you're right. Like, it is a tool, but I think there's other ways around it. And if it's that big of a deal, use YouTube or something. Yeah. Like, you know, those. Yeah. Let's get into Far Cry, because they released like a 5-minute gameplay trailer, and I want to get your thoughts first, Kyle, because you were very excited about this one.
Yeah, I've always kind of been like a moderate fan of the Far Cry games. I think since 3, I think that was my first one I played. So I played 3, 4, 5, and 6. Or I will play 6 when it comes out. And so, like, they're very samey, I guess. Like, it's the same game, just different setting, different, you know, it's in the same, like, you're fighting at some, you know, evil dick that I, like, free some people, unlock some radio towers, you know, capture some strongholds or compounds and clear those out. And, like, it's, but they always do add an interesting spin on it. It looks like they're getting into some really interesting, cool stuff. And, like, the bad guy every time is always super interesting. It's a very drastically different character. Like, last time it was like a hyper religious like cult leader, and then this time it's like a I think Cuban or like Latin American country like kind of militaristic dictator, and it's Giancarlo Esposito, who's the main bad guy in Mandalorian, and Gus Fring from Breaking Bad, so he's like a phenomenal actor. But I'm pretty hyped. I like every single game. It's pretty good, pretty fun, and it looks like they're doing some fun crafting, ridiculous guns that are all super wild and crazy. And
but the dog, it's just
and the dog with the little wheelchair was cute as hell.
Oh my
too.
God, we have to save him. I feel like
he was in trouble.
$60 so I can rescue that dog. I don't give a shit what the hell,
I mean,
you know, other
as long as we can
is.
Pet the dog, and then yeah. I can tweet that Twitter account that's like, can you pet this dog in this game? Then we're all Gucci. And that dog stays alive, we're Gucci. But if that dog does not stay alive, let me tell you right now, there will be some John Wick stuff happening in this game. Like, because I'm just like, that dog is too cute. So
you're going to drive up to Canada, talk to Ubisoft, be like, listen here.
We need
this
dog.
This dog dies, you die.
There's something going on.
The last one was really good, Far Cry 5. I don't think I played 4 all the way through. I played 3, took a break, and then came back and played 5. But I played 5 like years after it had come out, because it was like on Steam sale for like $5 or something like that. Was not disappointed. Like, the game is so satisfying, especially since I've been playing more FPS on the PC. If you've been playing, if you're a Destiny player or a Halo player or something, or I mean, or an Overwatch player, you go over and you start feeling like there's skill shots and stuff. Like, you really aim really pays off in that game. Like, you spec towards like critical with sniper rifles, and it's a very satisfying game to play. And the sniping just feels good. And then the atmosphere that they build in those games is insane. Like, I was just walking through the woods, and it's beautiful. And then off in the distance, I hear an acoustic guitar and someone singing. I don't know who originally did it, but Nirvana did a cover during their Unplugged. It's called My Girl, I think. Where Did You Sleep Last Night? I can't remember. It's one of those names. But I heard that like off in the distance. And so I walk and walk and walk. And it's just an NPC sitting in a campfire. He had like some ammo there. And I sat there for like 5 minutes just to hear the song out, you know, and you could hear the river on the side. Like, it was very
That's
tranquil.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Amazing.
There's something good about, like, I do love that those games that, like, they don't try to be multiplayer games. They're like, listen, what we do is fun, like, well-balanced single-player experiences where, like, it doesn't feel like you're like in some games. I'm like, feel like I will shoot a guy like 900 times and he's still alive. I'm like, okay, well, that's just unfun. But like, those games are usually pretty well balanced. They have a good flow to them. Like, they have really good stealth mechanics, especially too. Like, there's always something satisfying about you go up to like a compound of like 12 guys, and you're like, okay, well, if I go, I gotta throw this. There's a great, on that note, there's a great YouTube series or video that I've seen where this guy will rehearse how to take out one of those like Far Cry compounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dance. Well, he'll like throw a knife up in the air. He'll co-kill one guy, immediately kill the other guy. The knife drops on the third guy, jumps over, stabs the fit. And it's just this like, it is art, like poetry in motion. There's something just especially fun about doing things like that. And like the genre of open world, first person, adventure-y RPG shooter games has always been really, really fun. And I think they're kind of the front runners on doing it so far.
Yeah, I'm hoping this one brings some more to the table. It sounds like they're definitely going out of control. Like you were saying, there's a gun that shoots CDs. And
that plays the Macarena.
Yeah, there's the Macarena yeah. theme song, and they were shooting it like it was like like the Saw gun from Dead Rising. It was and then the pet crocodile or alligator. Which, you know, in 5, there was like a pet bear and all sorts of crazy stuff too. Mm-hmm. So they're bringing back the pet system. And then now there's like some ballistics backpack you can wear that basically lets you drop artillery strikes on people. So, they're definitely raising the bar in some aspects. And with, like you said, Juan Carlo Esposito, you know, at the playing the villain, you know, it's going to be a really good game. So we'll keep our tabs on that one. Always good to see more content coming out, especially right now. And I'll kind of ask you guys this too. Does it feel like a lull in the gaming space in general right now? Like, what's big?
Yeah.
True.
It does feel like we're waiting on a lot yeah. of stuff. Like,
yeah.
we're but getting also, good updates
E3's
for stuff.
Coming out.
Yeah.
E3
is. I think that's where the hard hitters are going to happen. Like, E3... Or what's that other thing? The Summer Game Fest or whatever. Like, I feel like that's where we're going to see, like, the huge announcements.
But are we? Mm-hmm. Because everything is usually spoiled. You know, we kind of know.
It's either huge announcements or it's probably going to be gameplay or trailer.
Yeah,
like
it's
some
like
type
an extra
of
thing. Like, extra we know this thing. Game already yeah. exists. And yeah. I think there is in, I think, a couple of weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks, there's a Bethesda and Xbox showcase. So, like, mm-hmm. Microsoft bought Bethesda.
Yeah, and we have
a couple months ago.
What happens with that?
And we know that Starfield's a thing. We know that Elder Scrolls 6 is a thing, but Starfield's going to come first. And it's been, like, announced, I think, 2 years ago at least at this point. Like, hopefully they have a trailer. Just a, like... I don't care just anything at this point.
That's kind of the
sick.
Bummer of how
exclusive?
They it's there's the shock and awe of a game release that I think we just don't have anymore where they're like, boom, this game is coming out. Bam, it's sick. Oh, by the way, it's going to be here in 3 months or something. It's not mm-hmm. like that anymore. They're going to show us a 30-second clip of Starfield and then it's going to come out in 3 years and then it's going to get delayed and then it's going to end up disappointing us.
I think we are a bit jaded by Overwatch, too, I think. Like, we've been hearing about this thing, and it's, like, going on. But I think there is definitely something with, like, it feels like a lot of really good games are on the horizon.
Name one.
And I think it...
Besides Horizon.
I mean, yeah, you got Horizon, you got Overwatch 2, you got... Star. Like, there's all these great games that are, like, announced, but not really here yet.
But
I think in terms
games?
Of, like, great games that have come out in the last, like, couple of months, there's not really a ton of, like... groundbreaking new games.
Which
hey, WWE. I'll get it twisted. Oh, yeah. WWE's okay. going to be game of the year. Game of the yeah. year, folks. So with that high bar set, how could games like Village ever live up to the hype? But thank you so much for the raid. Oh, wow. Abood Gaming hitting us up with a big fatty raid. Thank you, guys. These are our friends up in Canada. I met them at some parties at TwitchCon a couple years ago, and we just always stayed friends. So thank you guys. Let's just run through the list of games coming out, and we'll see like what the next big thing is. Like I'm talking Among Us level, because Among Us came, it, like dominated the world, and it's gone, and nothing has like filled its spot. We had Village come through, which was kind of okay. Everyone it was memes, kind of more.
It feels like people had a good weekend. Like people like vibed on it for a weekend. They're like, okay, well, it was a good, it's a good game. I think it's like the gameplay was like maybe 10, 15 hours from like what I've heard from people. Like it's not gonna take you, you know, hours and hours and hours. Like it's just a good small little game, but it's also not like it didn't do anything groundbreaking. It's literally just a big lady.
Resident Evil fans and then memes about the very tall lady. I don't get it. Maybe it's because I'm married and I love my wife, you know, so I don't look at other people like that.
I personally don't think tall lady is that attractive at all.
Yeah, personally.
I don't think she's at all. I think she's just... I don't understand at all why you would.
I don't get it.
Look at her.
Why go out for burgers when you have steak at home? Is what I always like to say.
Oh my god! But what if she is the steak? She's that other steak on the side.
No. Ground beef at best.
But no, to your point, I think like the main like games that people are playing are like more so multiplayer. It seems because of the pandemic, which is another thing you have to keep in mind. Because I mean, think of it: all these studios have been
themselves when they're by themselves all the goddamn time.
Exactly. So, like, all these studios also have most of them been working from home. You know, trying to get back into the groove of things, and then it's like, well, what can we produce that people would actually play at this point in time? And most of the games that you see are multiplayer. Like either indie studios or whoever, and that's what we're seeing most of the hype around right now, because all the other games that are single player are being made, and it's like, okay, well, by the time that's made, maybe we'll be out of this pandemic, and then it makes sense. You know what I mean? So it does make sense that it is a lot of multiplayer type games, especially with what's going on.
I do have to give a shout out though. Subnautica Below Zero came out recently, and Sacramento. Local Ben Prunty who did the soundtrack for like FTL and Into the Breach did the soundtrack for that, and it's phenomenal. I haven't played the game, but I've listened to the soundtrack a couple of times.
We'll get this dude on the podcast. We'll get some Sacramento love up.
Maybe
here.
We should.
Reach out to him.
Yeah, there we go.
we did some SEC stuff, which was cool. He's been awesome about explaining stuff. He has his own stream and stuff. So yeah, we should maybe get him on. Yeah. But it was definitely like a phenomenal soundtrack, and I will forever plug the game because he's a cool dude and people need to play the games he does.
Put some respect on his name.
Yes.
I think the biggest
what's the list? I'm curious as like what the hell is like actually on the horizon. If there's things I'm like missing or
Horizon,
like things I'm forgetting.
Horizon this last week had some gameplay come out and had some people kind of excited, but it's going to be maybe a big game for people who have got the time to play an adventure game. It's not going to have that virality that's going to really blow up or take anyone by storm, I don't think. Deathloop looks still pretty good.
Yeah.
That's that competitive shooter.
I thought it was a single. Is it multiplayer?
It's multiplayer. It's like it's one person is trying to complete the missions while the other person is trying to stop you from completing the missions. So it's a 1v1 type of situation. That one looks really good. But again, 1v1, I don't know. I have hopes for it. I think all our hopes are on Halo, but I don't think we're going to sniff Halo until December or November.
That's a lot of eggs. That's too many eggs. And I don't have that much faith in Halo, I'm not going to lie. Like, I love Halo. I loved the first couple of games, but I've just kind of stopped caring. And, like, from all the things that they have posted recently, like, the game doesn't even look that phenomenal, and that was their main critique. That's why I think they gave it the Sonic treatment. They're like, all right, this game's coming out soon. Oh, you guys are like, okay, we're gonna take it back. We're going to workshop that. We're going to fix it a little bit. You say it looks like an Xbox 360 game. We're going to fix that up.
Wasn't there something this week or today I saw about Fallout 76, but then it was like they put out another tweet that it might be another Fallout or something. I was like, if they gave us another Fallout that wasn't 76, that would be nice. Like,
as someone who spent $60 on Fallout 76, yes, I would like to do something that wasn't Fallout 76, please.
Yeah.
The other one that's out right now that I've seen a couple clips going viral on and some streamers checking out is the Knockout City. It's like that dodgeball game.
Yeah, I
I have
have
heard
it. It's
about
free
that.
this weekend or this week. It's probably my trial's probably over. I haven't even played it yet. A bunch of people at Harmonix have been playing it, and I just wanted to get on a game. But it looks pretty good. I need to like actually play it.
What is
But I've
this?
heard good things about
What
it.
platform? You said it's free this weekend.
Yeah, all of them. I think it's at least PC, and I think all the normal consoles as well.
And then it becomes paid, or is it a free to play with like the season pass and
It's free
everything?
for the week and then it becomes paid. Like it's a 20 bucks. It's 20 and it's like $20. It's not like it's a
Okay.
free and then 60 or whatever.
I see you. Okay.
But I think I've heard really good things about it from like a lot of the BR people that like, oh, it's really, really good. And I think it's like a nice, like much more kid-friendly BR game too. So like if your parent yells at you for playing Fortnite because it's too violent, okay, well, mom, this game has a dodgeball. Listen, I'm not killing people. I'm not shooting guns. It's literally a dodgeball. I'm throwing a dodgeball, catching a dodgeball. Look how wacky this game is. But I've also heard that like, it's not just a stupid kids game. It's like got some
Legit.
interesting gameplay and
Skill. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, it takes some
It's
skill. I'm worried about just like look at the scenes of a bunch of different games right now. Like we said, Among Us is pretty much dead.
Free this weekend.
Yeah, it is free on the Epic
That's
Games
good.
Store this weekend, but that's
We should
probably a s
play.
we should. Maybe that's a sign though that it's not doing too good. Fortnite, I noticed across the board their content, they just said they're not doing another one of their big events. Viewership has been down kind
Yeah.
of across the board on Fortnite overall. CS:GO is pretty much dead in North America. I don't know if there's been like crazy massive growth in League of Legends, but it stayed consistent, but I don't know that it's gotten any
Yeah.
more popular than it was. I think the best thing right now is the Valorant major that's been going on because that's kind
Bro,
of been popping off. What have you seen
it has
though?
been. I've watched every single game, even when
Yeah,
I'm working. I
Valorant.
have that open on my other monitor. It is so good. Like, first off, it's at like a fun place of like, it's the point where like we have teams that are established in each region as being pretty good, which is cool. Like,
Yeah.
we know Sentinels are pretty good. We know like Fnatic is pretty good. Unfortunately, the best Korean team previously who won 116 games in a row, they didn't make it, and then some of the best Brazilian teams didn't make it. But like, you have all of these really incredible regions, all coming out and like really proving that they all are like pretty good. When it used to be for like Counter-Strike, it's like, okay, Europe number one definitively. NA is a joke. There's no Korean teams. You have like a couple Brazilian teams that are usually pretty good, but like that's about it. Now we have Southeast Asia, like Patafan, who was a player in the Thai player for like the Overwatch World Cup, is he his team went in. They did really, really well. You had Europe, you had Brazil who's doing pretty good, you have Japan who's doing pretty good, Korea's doing pretty, like everyone's kind of got representation. All the games have been like pretty fun. It's like one of the first major LANs we've had in a long, like more than a year, and so like just seeing people walking out on a stage together, it's a different vibe, and like the games have been great. The meta's in a great place. The game is fun. You get like so many cool different like stylistic differences and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just that is my esport of choice at the moment. Like I will always enjoy watching Overwatch, and I'll watch like a couple of games a week maybe. But man, I will just watch every Valorant tournament that exists ever.
I've been kind of I don't know, Overwatch has been a little annoying this season to me just because I like a good upset. Don't get me wrong, I'm a Kings fan, all right? So anytime they win, and most of the time they win, it's kind of seen as an upset. But like shouldn't happen all the time. Like that shouldn't be the norm. And if you go to the Overwatch League Twitter page, all the posts are like, "Oh my God, only 90 people out of like the billion of people who put in their things got it right because there were so many crazy upsets." How many crazy upsets are there going to be next week, everybody? And it's kind of built off of that. And then I feel like they've been moving the game to that. Like they're trying to make it where more randomness and more craziness happens and other teams could kind of come out of nowhere. And I don't think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's the reason I don't enjoy battle royales as a like competitive format. Like, it's fun to play with your friends on a weekend, but, like, I don't give a ton of credit to, like, Fortnite or Apex or whatever, like, because those are so much randomness involved. It doesn't always feel like the best person wins, and it kind of feels like it's not a clean, easy to understand narrative. And I think that's the thing that, like, Overwatch for so long had, like, it's just boring because it's the same thing. Like, when it was GOATS, like, that was definitively the best composition to run.
Yeah.
And they, like, had to try to find a way to not have that because it was horrendously boring to watch. But it was like watching people play chess.
No, here's the thing. Now everybody misses it because it was it was like chess and there was a lot going on. And here's the thing. At right when a counter, like a legitimate counter to GOAT started being formulated, because everyone started running triple DPS. Do you remember? And then that, like, a couple teams were actually having success beating quality GOATS teams that way. And so a new meta could have developed, but then they kind of...
And then they 2-2-2 locked it.
They did it 2-2-2 lock, and then they started doing hero bans, and they started doing all this crazy stuff. So now you're just seeing no consistency. And not only... I mean, okay, maybe from the fan experience, you know, if you're a Boston fan and you've been watching your team get shit stomped for 3 years in a row, you know, you do want to see them get some W's to try and maybe get some sort of fan base so they can maybe sell some t-shirts or some tickets someday. But... Go ahead.
But it then feels like ingenuine, right? Like, you didn't earn that win. You didn't, like, they didn't ball out for, like, the biggest. They also didn't, like, scout out the biggest, like, slept on players for the most part. They have, like, one or two who I thought was really good. But, like, they're not doing the, like, money ball thing where they find the best players that no one has ever heard of. They're also not, like, SF Shocking just buying the best players because they have the best coaching staff. But, like, and so it's like, did you earn that win? Like, the fact that there were two really, really good teams last weekend who lost to two really, really, really bad teams, that's not good.
But it's
right?
So,
like,
crazy.
It's not indicative of, like, a balanced game. Like, you can, it's like watching a coin flip and be like, oh my god, it's heads this time. Like, it's not.
And it's stressful for the athletes and for the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super stressful to have to adapt so quickly all the time. Like, how you tell these guys, okay, hit this bullseye, but we're just gonna move the target all the damn time,
and, like, you have to hit it with different things. It's okay. You have to use a bow and arrow this time. Okay, next time you're gonna use a shoe.
Yeah,
and then you're gonna have someone pouring water on you while you throw a ninja star. And, like, it's just like, it is tricky because, to kind of compare with, like, Valorant, there are meta changes here and there, but, like, for the most part, the good teams stay good. Yeah. Like, it does require some amount of, like, you can't just rest on your laurels and you're like, oh, I'm good at shooting, so I'm just going to be good at the game. Like, no, there's some strategy involved. You have to understand all the other stuff. But, like, Overwatch, I think the meta... The hero balance changes are so dominant over the gameplay and the... Because, like, the game is abilities, right? Like, abilities are the things that do the damage. Abilities are the things that lose team fights. Not aim, not strategy as much. And so I think that's the thing, is, like, when you change one or two things, the gameplay changes drastically. So when you nerf a hero or remove a hero from the game, you ban this hero from the game... It is completely changing the formula of the game. League doesn't have that issue because, okay, you ban Renekton. Cool, I have four or five other champions that can do the exact same thing in the top lane with, like, minor differences and minor gameplay adjustments. It's not like if you ban Reinhardt,
GG.
You're playing dive or you're playing ball. Like, it's entirely different.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the things they're, like, they're having that issue of balance with Overwatch, and so that's why it's definitely...
We'll see what happens when they move to the 5v5. I mean, after having some time to think about it and sleep on it, I think it's going to be hard. Obviously, everything is when there's change, so I definitely see why people be upset. And plus, when you get so attached to the personalities of the esports and stuff, and your group, your solid group of six, you know, knowing that, you know, you're going to have to go down to five, like, that's going to suck. That's going to be hard. However, it's going to be infinitely easier, I think, for these guys to balance the game. And I think in the long run, it's going to be a good thing. Sucks now. Sucks to see, you know, some of your favorite players maybe not find a home. But I think in the end, we'll get more easier to view games. I think the viewer experience is going to be better. I think the player experience is going to be better. I think just you got to hold on. I think with the I read a good message, and this was from like some normie type people too, not even pros, just like people who play for fun, that were saying that tanks feel like extra DPS characters. So it's going to be nice for a tank to feel like a tank and to be treated like a tank. And I think that we're going to, you know, struggle, but we'll get there. Thanks everybody for listening this week. What a great show. Thank you to Aboot Gaming, our friends from the north, hitting us with that very, very, very kind raid. We could probably stick around for a few minutes afterwards, if you guys don't mind me like running to the garage to see if I can find my Pokemon cards for like 3 minutes. But yeah, so that's why you should be watching us on twitch.tv/videogame_bang if you listen to the podcast normally and you want to hang out, interact. We do a little after show sometimes where we just shoot the shit. You can ask questions, Q&A time, anything you guys want. We're pretty open. But until then, Lexi, hard at work on her WWE 2K game. Do you have any announcements for us yet? What's the most recent thing you guys have done?
Well, we've been putting out a lot of behind the scenes footage and content. So if you guys are WWE fans,
heck yeah,
and you like WWE 2K games, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and make sure to also follow our 2K dev accounts, because we are rolling out really cool footage for you guys. And also follow me on Twitter. It's LexiJPR, because I usually post whenever it's out as well.
She got the spicy
keep
tweets.
You guys posted.
Spicy tweets. So okay, the only question I have, has Macho Man been confirmed?
Every week, we gotta ask.
Corey always asks, like,
Macho Man,
those random questions about superstars and stuff. And I'm just like,
it's a simple question.
I mean,
simple yes or no. Has the Macho Man been confirmed yet?
I cannot confirm or deny. And I will say that next usually, week.
That usually means yes. So now I'm in the industry now. I know.
That speaking of being in the industry, I have a question for you too. Blues Traveler, are they coming to Fuser? Confirmed, yes or no?
I don't know. I have zero idea. I don't pay attention enough in that part of the meeting to remember exactly who. I know who. I would be stoked on Blues. We just dropped What Is Love, I'm pretty sure, which was
what?
A good one.
By Hathaway?
Yes.
What?
Hey.
No. That's a good one.
Well, that was my second question. So awesome. Cool. Hathaway is in there. What's new with you guys over there? You said Fuser's on sales, like $40?
Yeah. Fuser price dropped last week.
What?
We got, like, not even sale, like price drop. Like, it's just instantly cheaper. We had a new update pop just like last Thursday or no. Yesterday? I don't know. I've lost all control of time. But it's a super cool thing where, like, you have one person who gets like a slot in the entire world who this is my slot, and people can come in, like, watch their show.
Really?
Watch their performance. We have like a Twitch stream. It's like a 24/7 Twitch stream, so at any point in time there's someone doing their set.
Cool.
And
that's
it's Fuser Headliner Spotlight or something like that. Let me see if I can figure out what
it is. I
know
you put out
exactly
a tweet too, looking for playtesters. Is that
that's
an option? Can I get paid to play the game?
I don't know about paying. I don't know if it's a pay, but it's especially for people who are like in
you're
the Boston
paying people
area.
In Dogecoin to play Fuser?
Paying people in that you can play a game that doesn't exist and not be able to tell anyone about it at all, but just live with the knowledge that a game you didn't think it existed, or that a game you thought existed actually, or whatever.
So this isn't a playtest of a game that's out already? This is like a super secret project?
I actually don't know. I have zero idea.
Where can people sign up?
You can check the Harmonix or Rock Band Twitter pages. We got a little link-a-rooney there to sign up on stuff. And then, yeah, Fuser Headliner on Twitch is going 24/7 if you want to like have some jams on. While you're like working on stuff, you can just have that up.
And then
what if I was a musician and I wanted to remix my own jams with the jams infuser? Is there an option to do so?
I don't know if we can put your own music in there, because then people could put up music they don't own, I don't think, and like then get in trouble for that. But if you make music and would like to have your music in a game, that is a thing that we can do.
Talking to you, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Always looking for some friends. Yeah, everybody's got really good Red Hot Chili Peppers connections. Flea, tell him to hit me up on Twitter.
The Flea listens to this show religiously. Yeah. He's going to be like, oh my God, DMing Kyle right now because I need to get Can't Stop.
Hit me up, bro.
Yeah.
Hit me up. We actually, I feel like we have that. I don't know. I don't remember which one we have. We have a good amount of Chili Peppers.
The Chili Peps. Thanks, everybody, for listening so much. We're going to do a little after show, show off some Pokemon cards, hopefully. But for Kyle the winner, Lexi, and my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.